Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, friends. Happy Tuesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. And yes, it is true. The rumors, the whispers, they are accurate. Justice Mosqueda has returned. We have off-season Justice in the building. Justice, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing good. You called me and you were like, do you want to keep doing this in the off-season? I was like, as long as people aren't tuning out, sure, I'll keep doing it. I like hanging out with you.
I put the Justo signal up and you responded. It's exactly what I was hoping for. Of course, you can follow him on social media at JUMOSQ. You can find him on acmepackingcompany.com where they do absolutely incredible work. And if you're not checking it out daily, you are making a massive mistake. So make sure to remedy that as soon as possible. Justice, how's your offseason treating you first and foremost?
I could have done without like the, you know, Friday news dumps for the coaching staffs and stuff like that.
Fair.
But it definitely got a lot more exciting today with the Myles Garrett stuff. So
let's just dive headfirst right in. We're going to go right into the Myles Garrett conversation because it has overtaken everything. I think in the wake of Luka Doncic being traded over the weekend, anything is now possible. Nobody can tell anyone that it's a stupid idea or that there's never any chance of anything that's going to happen because Luka Doncic was just traded for Anthony Davis. So any stupid idea might still be on the table. And I'm not even saying this is a stupid idea, but I want to get your just off the cuff. What are we thinking here, Justice?
So a lot of the, okay. So it's hard to engage with the stuff without coming in with a preconceived notion of what the Browns are in this era. Right. There was a lot of talk about, you know, Myles Garrett needed to meet with the decision makers in Cleveland this offseason and figure out kind of what their trajectory is like moving forward. It seems like a lot of Browns fans, for whatever reason, had bought into the idea that you can just keep spending money and you can keep restructuring these contracts and just keep pushing the money forward. Yeah. And they point to teams like the Saints that kept the title window open or the Packers that kept the title window open, but only for a much shorter amount of time than like the Saints did, right? The Patriots, another one at the end of the Brady stuff. They're doing this for a bad football team, right?
Yep.
So you can only pay. I mean, they put this past team's roster on a credit card, right? They're gonna have to pay that eventually. And I legitimately like, if you try to trade the Deshaun Watson contract today, do you have to give up the second overall pick to do it?
At least
you might have to. Yeah, I mean, that's how bad that deal is, right? So, Miles saying that he wants out isn't really surprising to me. I was kind of surprised when it kind of like died down for a little bit, you know, after he said that he wanted to meet with kind of like the upper management and stuff like that. Weren't there like offensive linemen too on the Browns that were like considering retirement after the season, depending on how this stuff would go? They're in a horrendous cap situation. I mean, the only team that's worse is probably the Saints, the one team that still has a head coaching opening, a vacancy on February 3rd. There's no other team in the league that's close to them. There is legitimately no light at the end of the tunnel for them, at least not one in the distant future. I mean, I was joking on Twitter probably 2 months ago, and I was like, dude, if they take you and you're a quarterback and you're a Brown or Saint, I think you legitimately have to look at just sitting out a year. If they don't trade you, like in terms of how it could ruin your career, they're not going to be playing with a loaded deck until like, if the Browns want to right this ship and they have to clear all this cap space to even take on like Myles Garrett's dead cap, cause it's not going to come from a post June 1 trade. Right.
Nope.
Like you're talking about them not really getting steady until 2028. If you're Kevin Stefanski, can you wait until 2020? Like, why isn't Kevin Stefanski trying to get out of there? Like, I just don't understand why more people aren't trying to jump ship. The Deshaun Watson contract is easily the worst deal in North American sports history. And
Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid.
Well, he's barely... So they've been getting him paid, right? But even when he got paid, they haven't really accounted for that on the salary. Oh, so
I said, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. Oh. And that contract's out there. That contract's out there. This one's still worse.
Yeah, I mean, you can't defer payments and stuff like. I mean, there's a salary cap in this league too, and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, I'm not surprised about this. I think what Miles does. I mean, he's a former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, right? I mean, he's a star. He's in his 20s. We've been saying this whole offseason, really, that you know what the Packers don't need is a lot more bodies, right? In terms of their 53-man roster that's coming back, the guys on injured reserve, you already have 46 guys under contract. I know we're talking about, you know, we have all of this money to spend and free agency and stuff like that. You could restructure the Love contract, which they're probably going to do. Maybe, and that's with, you know, Jair still having, you know, his number on the books. Maybe you move off of him. Maybe he agrees to a restructure that would see him get payments basically and like incentives or something like that, right? They have a lot of money and flexibility that they can use right now. I don't know how much draft picks help, right? I mean, I'm certain, you know, I mean, getting an Edgerrin Cooper in the second round, all that stuff, like that stuff certainly helps. But I think you want to take big swings more than anything, right? You want to get guys that the other team has to game plan for, right? Because that's kind of what the Packers lack, I guess, a little bit, right? Like you're like, okay, we're going to face Josh Jacobs. We got to stop him inside run game. Xavier McKinney, we don't want to throw into the middle of the field. Outside of that, there's not a whole lot of things that you need to game plan against the Packers for right now. And I think Myles Garrett is clearly one of those guys that you could do it. Now, the question is, can you move off of the 2025 first-round pick because the draft is being held in Green Bay? I did this exercise with Jared Mueller. So he writes for Dogs by Nature. So that he's basically in the same role that I'm in for APC. For Dogs by Nature, which is our sister site covering the Cleveland Browns. The trade that we ended up agreeing to, because we started with the baseline of the Diana Russini report that first it's going to be closer. Yeah, it's going to be closer to a first round pick and some change than it is going to be three first round picks. This isn't a trade for a quarterback or anything like that, right? What we ended up agreeing to was a 2026 first. So not this April, the April after.
Yep.
Shout out, you guys can get into the Arch Manning sweepstakes, all that stuff. A second round pick this year, Malik Willis, Marshawn Lloyd, and Christian Watson. And I'm pulling the trigger on that trade.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm doing it. And I'm no second thoughts. Like, tamper, give up the fifth round pick that the Falcons gave up for tampering with Kirk Cousins. Give it up. Like, get in Miles Garrett's DMs, text him, text his agent. Call everyone. They're only finding fifth round picks. We're talking about Miles Garrett during a potential Super Bowl run. Send it.
So here's where I'm at. Let me ask you one quick caveat to this. Would you be under the assumption that Garrett would play out the remaining 2 years, or are you going to have to immediately sign him to a Nick Bosa $35 million per year, 5 year contract? And does it affect you in any way?
It doesn't affect me in any way. Cause I mean, he's going to have 1 year. I mean, maybe he plays out this year on that deal. But by next offseason, you're already going to be talking about an extension and you know what he's going to get paid, right? So I'm not too worried about that. I mean, I look at the construction of this roster. Like, McManus isn't going to cost a lot of money. He's probably the most likely guy to resign.
Yep.
You're talking about a Zach Tom extension. Like, yep. Garrett and Zach Tom, like, just those two contracts alone aren't going to kill you.
Nope.
So, like, take a big swing. Let's go do the thing. Let's go do the thing.
I have so many things that I want to get to here. Let me start by saying this. So the trade, and so you said a second next year, first this, or sorry, a second this year, first next year, right? Gotcha. Bingo. And then yes. Watson, Lloyd, and who's the other one?
Malik.
Watson, Lloyd, and Malik. Okay. I don't hate that. I don't hate anything about that. If Christian was healthy for the coming into the season, I might have a slightly different feel for it. But with him going to be out the majority of the year anyway, I don't think it moves the needle for me one way. Let's just say that it was, for the sake of our, let's just say it was a first rounder this year, just for ease of it. All right. And let's just say it was a first and second this year. Forget that the draft's in Green Bay. Let's just put that just to kind of ease it in a little bit more. Let's say it was a first and second round pick this year. The trade to me then becomes the first round pick, the second round pick, and the $35 million also that you could go out and spend in free agency to get what you want. So, for example, would you rather have Khalil Mack plus Davante Adams, or Khalil Mack plus, you know, who's the corner for the Vikings?
Byron Murphy.
Name basically almost not quite, but almost any two free agents that you want, probably not named T. Higgins or Trey Smith. You might be able to almost get any two other free agents that you want for around that cost. Plus, let's just say you take the second and use it to move up in the first round to get to the, like, pick, I don't know, 12, 15, somewhere in that range. Would you rather have your two favorite free agents that are available plus a top 15 pick in this year's draft, or Myles Garrett?
So I've done some work on this draft class. If we trade up in this draft class, I will be pretty bummed.
It's probably the wrong class. So, okay, so let's even look at it. First and second round pick. And then if you want to add on top of that, the first and second round pick, Marshawn Lloyd, Malik Willis, plus your two favorite free agent signings, or Myles Garrett and Christian Watson.
Yeah, because I don't know how many of those guys are going to be available. Like, there's no promise that Murphy is going to be available, right?
Same with a lot of those guys.
Right. I mean, I think Mac has a better chance, but like the Vikings specifically, right? Like, the Vikings are losing a lot of free agents, but they also have a lot of flexibility. So like they can kind of like pick and choose where they want to like add those guys. And I think Murphy would be probably be pretty high on that list. I think Murphy and Asante Samuel Jr., who's coming off of the season ending stinger injury to his neck, I think those guys probably make the most sense at cornerback. At defensive end, I'm not sure if there's anyone who super pushes the needle. I know like Josh Sweat is out there and he just signed a new agent. He just signed a Rosenhaus and stuff. But like Higgins is great. I don't know if Higgins is the receiver that the Packers need right now. I say same thing with Davante Adams. I think they'd be our number one receiver, but I think it's more important for them to get a speed guy that replaces Christian Watson and maybe, you know, hit on that in the second, third round, trade back from the first round, all that stuff. Like, I think that makes more sense for them. I'd do it, man. I really would.
Here's the biggest thing. The biggest thing that I agree with you on, and the biggest thing that I'm a pretty strong proponent of, is number one, Green Bay doesn't need any more good players. I mean, obviously to an extent, right? Like they have plenty of good players. They need stars. They need great players to get them.
I need someone wearing a captain patch. Like I need, that's what I need. I don't need that.
I mean, that's like not, and I'm not even talking like, oh, like, yeah, he's probably a Pro Bowler. No, I'm talking about like first team all pro, unquestionable, like going to be a top 10 player, top five player in the league, somebody that offensive coordinators are staying up late at night figuring out, okay, how do I deal with this? Not to mention that then you've got Garrett on the first level, Cooper on the second level, McKinney on the third level, which kind of adds a really fun element to your defense as well. I am all in on that. I actually think that Goody's superpower and the front office's superpower is they can find good players damn near anywhere. Like they can find Emmanuel Wilson off of a, you know, undrafted free agent. They can find Keyshawn Nixon on a 1-year vet minimum, zero signing bonus deal. You know, Devondre Campbell, when they needed a linebacker for that first year, when he was all pro, 1-year, $2-3 million deal, whatever it was. The draft, like they find good players on day two and day three of the draft consistently. They can find a kicker in the middle of the season that goes on to what only miss two field goals or two kicks the rest of the year. Like they can find good players anywhere. Their weakness has been finding elite players other than really Jacobs and McKinney at the, you know, in free agency last year. If you can find a guy like that, that you can add to this team, to me, that's going to be the difference. And I still trust Goody, even if he didn't have a first and second round pick, even if he lost some of those players that you named, that with another full second, third, fourth, sixth, seventh round pick, some value free agent signings, et cetera, he'll be able to find good players. Rasul Douglas off a practice squad like he did. Like he'll find good players.
Yeah, it's already going to be hard for guys drafted next season, especially, you know, day three, to make this roster because we have, you know, so much experience coming back and stuff like that. we spent all the, I mean, when you spend, what is it? We had like 36 draft picks in like the last 3 years. When you're spending all those draft picks and actually using them, and then on top of that, adding free agents and waiver wire additions and stuff like that, like at some point, draft picks don't become as valuable. And I think,
yeah,
that's part of the conversation that we have right now. Like they could play a football game tomorrow with the guys that they return from the team, you know, 2024 to 2025. I also like to remind people right now, the Packers tried to trade for DJ Moore, a first round pick for DJ Moore at the trade deadline in 2022. So this wouldn't be crazy. DJ Moore was about to sign an extension with the Panthers at the time. You know, he ended up going to Chicago and all that stuff. But that's another thing, man. Like, who else is involved in this, right? Like when Julius Peppers was a cap casualty in Chicago and they cut him and then he signed with the Packers, the reaction from a lot of people in, I guess it's not front office, because I wasn't talking to like general managers or anything, but a lot of the response from people inside the league was like, I don't know if they would have done that if they knew that he was going to end up in Green Bay, right?
Sure.
And when you look at who would potentially make a move, I mean, Za'Darius Smith's contract is about to come up, right? Maybe Detroit's involved, right? San Francisco, those are fans who are begging for him right now, and they just got Bob Saleh, right? Yep. As their defensive coordinator. And, you know, these are the teams that the Packers are supposed to be competing with. I don't know how Howie Roseman can get it fixed, you know, under their cap situation right now, but that's the most aggressive general manager in the league running the Eagles and their teams in the Super Bowl. So, like,
Roseman plays Madden, man. Roseman plays Madden. He's like, he's done some franchises in his day.
Right. I mean, Goot said, right? Like, they want to be aggressive. They want to look at how the team can get better and all that stuff. Like, this is a like, he's a former NFL Defensive Player of the Year in his 20s who wants out. And you have, what's the point of building the stable foundation of the Packers where you're competing playoffs year in, year out, if you're not going to use it when someone's begging to, you know, be added to a contender, man? Like, it just go do the thing. It makes so much sense. This team struggled for pass rushers. This defensive scheme is something that we've been talking about since September, or since the summer, where we're like, you kind of gotta go after pass rushers at all costs. And that's what the San Francisco 49ers tried to do, right? And it works when it works, and then, you know, when they're running out of bodies, they want to be aggressive again, and that's probably why they're going to be in these conversations for Myles Garrett. So are you just going to let him do that, or are you going to, you know, take your swing?
Well, let's talk about this from a Browns standpoint, and then I want to look at it one other way. From a Browns standpoint, you have, like you said, the nightmare salary cap situation. Myles Garrett is turning 30. You have 2 years left on his deal. It is very clear and evident that in even the best case scenario where Garrett rescinds his trade request, he is not going to sign any sort of extension with you. I suppose you could do franchise tag, which would get him there for 4 years. But that's probably, even if you're in the salary cap hell that you're in right now, using 1 year franchise tags without being able to do any sort of maneuvering with it, not going to be ideal. So
that's,
you would have,
what I was going to say. I was like, it's going to be so hard to even give him money, because you have to restructure everything, because you paid all this money for, I don't know how many games they won, 3, 4?
Something like that, yeah.
You kicked it down the line. Like, but he's, this was bad. This was a bad, like, everyone in Cleveland should be fired today.
For
every
sure.
single person.
So, but this is like, this is even more of a fireable offense if you look at it in the fact that you have Myles Garrett for 2 years. Your biggest, best opportunity to get the mother load or mothership of draft capital and whatever is right now. If it's the trade deadline, it'll be less because it's a half year less of service. If it's next offseason, it's less because it's 1 year less of service.
Like, and you're only gonna have the teams that are able to fit it under their salary cap post
in certain time
agency and all that
and
stuff.
He gets he's a year older every single time, or like older at least every single time that you do it later. This is your one opportunity to sort of get that huge mother load of capital, and there is less than 0% chance that the Cleveland Browns have any opportunity to compete in that 2 year window with Myles Garrett. Like, there's 0.0% chance. It's not possible. It's not humanly possible. So how you would get to the thought process of, yep, we're going to keep him for 2 seasons, then let him walk in free agency, and not get anything in return other than a third round comp pick down the road while trying to compete over the next two seasons when we know damn well we cannot compete over the next two seasons. How you would get to the state of like, yeah, we're just going to keep them would be maybe even more of a fireable offense, quite frankly, than some of the crap that they've done already.
Plus, again, I mean, the Chicago Bears, they weren't in the exact same position because it wasn't the salary cap hell or anything like that. Like, they needed to get off of the JPEP contract and stuff like that. But who's to say, like, Myles Garrett doesn't walk and then he's a Pittsburgh Steeler or he's a Baltimore Raven or he's, you know, all that stuff. So at least if you trade with the Packers, you can promise, you know, at most we're going to see you once every 4 years, right? So
yeah, that's true story. Cool. So here's the checkpoints that we would need to get through to get to this point. And let me know if you disagree at any point. Checkpoint number one is that the Browns would have to come to the conclusion that they are willing to trade Myles Garrett. As of right now, for Andrew Berry and friends, it seems like they are not in that mindset. I think that's probably the easiest piece of this to potentially change. I don't know if this is the exact opposite of Luka Doncic, where instead of just calling one team and saying, here, we're going to give him to you for pennies on the dollar. If they're saying, no, he's not available, definitely don't everyone all at once make us your best possible offers and we're going to play hard to get. Maybe they're actually being semi-smart here, but that would be the first checkpoint that needs to get cleared, is that they're actually open to trading him. Second checkpoint. Oh, go ahead. Did you have something on number one?
No, I agree with you. I just don't think that they want to believe that it's over, and it's been over for 2 years, and it's just hard to watch. It's hard to watch the Browns.
Bad franchises usually stay bad. We love to think of like in these idealistic, it's one of the things that I have to like remind myself of the most, is we love to live in this world where we look at something and be like, oh, clearly they will do what's in the best interest of the franchise. And more often than not, own personal agendas and ownerships get far in the way of those idealistic views of what you probably should do as a franchise. And this could be one of those things, whether it's they would just want Myles Garrett to stay a Cleveland Brown, or whether it's ownership getting involved, or whether it's the GM just being like, if I trade this guy away and we go nuclear, by the time this team gets good again, I'm not even going to be in the position anyway. So what are we doing here? I don't know what it is, but
that's the hard thing to sell to Barry and Stefanski and all those guys, right? We're starting a teardown now.
Yeah.
I'm fired.
I'm fired done. Already.
I'm done in this town. Yeah, exactly. And that's the stuff where I'm like, Stefanski, why didn't you try to wiggle your way out this entire offseason? Barry, I think, is you're done, dude. I don't think you're going to get another shot to run
anything
NFL team ever again. But like Stefanski, at least, like, he's a good play caller and stuff like that. I think everyone acknowledges like Deshaun Watson simply was not the same guy once they traded for him, and the owner gave him a ton of money. I don't think people are going to hold that against him. So I kind
of thought Mavs might be open in a couple of years. That could be open in a couple of years. Maybe Andrew Berry can fall on his feet there. Are you guys ready for one last game before football season's over? It's maybe not the matchup everyone wanted, but there's still plenty of intrigue surrounding this game. Can KC three-peat? Can Saquon run his way to a Philly victory? Either way, you absolutely cannot miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. And here's the big thing. Prize Picks is giving away a free pick where Patrick Mahomes will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash. And that's not even all. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. If you think Luka or AD are going to ball out in their debuts with their new teams, make sure to get those picks in, because Prize Picks is the best place to win real money all year long. This week, I'm going with Patrick Mahomes to get that one passing yard, Travis Kelce to have fewer than 61.5 receiving yards, and Devontae Smith to have more than 50.5 receiving yards. Just make sure you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app, using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty geeked up to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've started to use before a night out with drinks, and I'm super excited to tell you about it. It's a little something called pre-alcohol. And let me start by saying, if there's ever been a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it is with pre-alcohol. Now, ZBiotics pre-alcohol prebiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I'll be totally transparent with you. When I heard about this product, I thought it was too good to be true. It simply sounded like something that wouldn't actually work when you tried it. But last weekend, I had a big night out and early next morning, and I figured, what do I have to lose? I tried it and it was legit. With pre-alcohol, I can stay on track and not let winter travel and celebrations like Valentine's Day, the big game, or Mardi Gras throw me off my course. So go to zbiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. Zbiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund you your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/packaday and use code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. So that's checkpoint number one. Browns have to be willing to do it. Checkpoint number two is the Browns have to create the space to do it. Because again, right now they cannot actually trade Myles Garrett as is. This was from, I just had it up and now I lost it. Here it is. This is from Jason at Over the Cap, which is, he does an incredible job, obviously, over there. Just to run a quick scenario, but prior to adjustments, the Browns would need to restructure Watson and Ward to the fullest, which is not in an ideal situation in and of itself, but they'd have to do that. Plus cut Jack Conklin to trade Myles Garrett. Doing all of that would leave them likely between $2 and $7 million in cap space, depending on where the cap winds up. This would leave them in the Saints-like situation. Really, outside of those three moves, there is little that they can do besides extending Newsom and then June 1sting some players so that they can sign rookies. Doing the math on this, the better option is probably extending Garrett and coming up with a dollar figure that would make him happy to be part of a rebuild next year. So that is from Jason. I kind of disagree with that last part a little bit, but that just the first part of what they would need to do to get to the financial flexibility to actually change it or trade him would be checkpoint number two.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you're threading the needle on both of the potential solutions there, right? In terms of restructuring all those contracts. Okay, we're starting the rebuild now, but it's going to take us forever to get out of this hole. If Myles gets traded, it certainly does not help the Browns in terms of just the schedule of how this stuff happens. I think it's actually a smoother landing if Myles is on the team and even like walks, just because they don't have to restructure all that stuff. But at the same time, I mean, he brought up, you know, hey, maybe a potential solution is an extension where he gets a bunch of money and stuff like that. Well, you're also having to compete with the cap too. Like dealing with the cap on the high end. So it has to be like, well, we got to give Myles more money, but it can't be this much. It has to be this much. Now, does he accept this much? If he doesn't accept this much,
we're in trouble.
What? We're at a standstill? We're at a staring match, right?
I hypothesized this, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know, maybe I wasn't the first one or whatever, but there was going to come a time, and I don't know that this is even quite it yet, but where a star player demanded out of the organization and the organization literally had to say, or is going to have to say, we literally can't. We literally financially cannot trade you.
Because of the bonuses, converting the salaries into bonuses, it makes it, it turns it all into guaranteed money that then goes onto the dead cap. I mean, if you think about it, so like the Packers perspective, right? The Packers don't give out guaranteed salaries, right? They give out roster bonuses. So a lot of things that you'll see is like this offseason, right? Jordan Love is only going to make X amount of salary, but he's going to sign a roster bonus that, you know, is going to be worth like $30-something million on like the third day of the new league year.
Yep.
The problem is once that triggers, you can't really trade that guy. Correct. Right. At least that year, like we've now created these small windows where like trades can actually happen. And I haven't looked at the Garrett contract specifically to figure out if there's like a date in it that he has to be moved by. Cause I mean, we're still so far out from like even free agency right now, it doesn't really matter. But, I mean, once you give these guys a lot of guarantees and it's in the form of a bonus instead of a salary, a lot of these problems stack up, especially if you're adding to it where you're like, oh, this Deshaun Watson thing isn't working. Let's just keep converting it, keep spending money, keep putting money on credit cards to, you know, just increase the talent on our roster, even though obviously the problem is this Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed contract that is just never going to pan out. Like, they should have just been willing to take their medicine. I mean, they should have stripped it down to the bolts. Like, honestly 2 years ago and just taken their medicine and just said like, look, we're going to suck and Sean is going to be, you know, our starter. And we're basically fielding, you know, an uncompetitive team where we hope to develop a couple of players who will be there by the time everything shakes out. And they just had way too much pride and they keep trying to make it work. And it's, again, tough to watch because now Browns fans are looking at this and they're like, so now, like, not only do we suck for like the past 3 years, we sucked before then. And that's what got us the first round pick or first overall pick of Myles Garrett and Baker Mayfield, who, by the way, Baker's playing for another team right and now. And well. And we'd rather have him than Deshaun. And then post those 2 eras of suck, we're now staring down 5 more years of almost guaranteed suck. And it's like, it's so weird to me. And I understand why teams do it because you only have so many assets and things like that. But like, I never understand why ownership in the NBA and the NFL specifically will allow you to do things as a general manager that can, that has influence beyond your current contract, right? Like when Trent Baalke is trading future draft picks, I'm like, why is that happening in the NBA when they're putting in like eighth graders basically in some of these trades? I'm like, how does anyone think that this is smart? Like, I do wonder if the leagues need to come together and start saying like, all right, if your GM's on a 5-year contract, you could trade a draft pick 5 years from now, right? But why do these guys, like, they can do so much damage for some of these teams. They can do so much damage.
They can, and they have. And then Cleveland right now, clearly in that situation. So first checkpoint, they have to want to trade him. Second checkpoint, they have to get to the point they can trade him. Third checkpoint, Brian Gutekunst might need to hit his head on something and or be visited by the ghost of Joe Johnson past, or I don't know what the situation is, but you're talking about the man who might have more value for his draft picks than any other GM in the league. And you are now talking about trading multiple top picks plus players, young players, away for 130-plus-year-old player. That would need to be the next checkpoint, is that Goody has some sort of epiphany and says, ah, F them picks. I'm going Myles Garrett, which, again, he is the one who brought up urgency. Nobody in the media brought it up like, do you have a sense of urgency, Brian? No, like, it was, you could tell it was a planned closing statement from him as like he transitioned that into like his final words of like, we need to have a sense of urgency. And I'll say this. If Brian goes out and does not make any impact signings in free agency and just is the normal draft and develop prospect sort of players in the draft, after saying we need to have a sense of urgency, I can't imagine that there's going to be too many people in the organization that are super thrilled with that series of events. Now, maybe that is going after somebody all in like a Crosby or a Garrett or somebody akin to that, but that would have to be a pretty major change for what Goody has done. Although I will agree with you in the fact that tried for Khalil Mack, probably came a little bit, you know, just a little bit under what Chicago is offering. Tried for DJ Moore, probably came just a little bit under. Was it before the year before that the Bears traded for DJ Moore, or was it the same season, same offseason?
It doesn't. DJ Moore was after the Panthers were like, we're not open for shop. Remember, I think that was part of like, they were bad that year, and they also had like Brian Burns that like would have gotten like 2 first-round picks from the Rams. They turned that down, and then they traded him for like a second the next year, and everyone pointed and laughed and were like, you idiots. No one to sell, man. There's like, if
that's,
I think
gonna be the moral of today's show.
No one to sell. These opportunities aren't gonna always come up. Like, and the Packers are in a position again, like the Packers have had their hands tied for the past at least 2 off-seasons. I mean, maybe more than that. I would argue probably 3. Like, even the Devontae, like, I know they traded away Devontae. They couldn't have kept Devontae. Like,
they would have had to make serious changes.
Like, they would have had to, like, maybe, like, June 1st, like, Bakhtiari or something like that instead of, you know, rolled it over for another year and stuff like that. But I'm sure Goot now, especially with having a steady roster and being able to do things, like, if you part with Malik Willis, you can add a veteran quarterback. That's not something that you could have said for the past 3 off-seasons in Green Bay, right? That you can like even have the money to buy a free agency backup quarterback. So I'm sure he's probably looked at some of these things and been like, oh man, if I wish I would have just had a little bit of cap space or cap or, you know, draft assets that I could have used or something like that, I could have been a little bit more aggressive in those spots. Well, now, I mean, it for real is an open book for the Packers. We had talked about this, at least at APC, you know, really beginning like the really since Rodgers left. It was always 2025 is kind of when the actual window opens up, because that's just how the cap scheduling pans out, right? So we're in it. We're in the window. Let's jump through the window head first. Let's do it. Let's go do it. I want Myles Garrett.
All right. That's the third one. Last one. Last but not least, there's only one left. Have to have the Browns be willing to do it. Have to have the Browns find a way financially to do it. Goody has to fall on his head and have a complete change of philosophy. And then number four is that even if you get to that point, let's say Green Bay is offering, we'll just again, for ease of use, the first and second round pick this year. One of those teams like the 49ers or the Dolphins or whomever that's ahead of Green Bay, that's picking ahead of pick 23, has to be basically offering your Green Bay would have to, even if it's equal, even if it's apples to apples, they're going to go with the team that has the higher draft pick than what Green Bay has, or the better draft pick, I should say, than what Green Bay has. So they're going to have to still beat out the teams, obviously, in front of them. And maybe to your point, maybe there's not as many suitors as maybe one would think. But those to me would be the four. And the last one again is that even if Goody gets to the point is like, I'm going to offer two first round picks, some other team that's picking ahead of them can't also say, I'm going to offer two first round picks.
All right. So teams that would be in contention, I think, in terms of thinking about the Packers as a contender. First of all, I don't want to make this too easy, but I'm just like AFC. A lot of these trades happen cross conference, right? Yep. So I'm just going to assume it's going to be in the NFC right now. And if, you know, the suitor pops up, that's fine. Lions, Eagles, right? I mean, see, man, this becomes the big thing where it's like, what is a contender, right? Even the Niners are going to strip down things a whole lot, right? Like they're going to lose some of those skill players and, you know, maybe a Trent Williams or something like that eventually because, you know, they're cap crunch. The Lions are facing a cap crunch. They're having to pay a lot of those guys now. The Eagles, I think, could maybe make it work just the way that the Jalen Hurts contract is set up. But if they ever want to pivot off of Jalen Hurts, that gravy train kind of stops. Like the Rams, Stafford's.
Yeah,
who knows what's going to happen with Stafford. Yeah. Minnesota, even a bigger question mark at the quarterback position. Like they haven't announced a Darnold deal. They haven't announced that it's going to be JJ McCarthy. I don't know what's going on. You know, one of the fallen stars, right? Like the Niners, we talked about them. I don't know, man. Like
Niners have 50 million cap space as of right now. And they pick at what? Pick 15? Nope. It is 11. Is it? 11. 49ers pick 11 and have 50 million cap space.
Yeah. But Purdy deal is this offseason.
True.
I mean, you get quarterbacks done a year early. The Purdy deal is this offseason. So
what about here's going to be the kickers when it's the Chargers. I know you said no AFC, but when it's the Chargers who have more salary cap space and pick one pick ahead of Green Bay, and it's going to come down to which team has pick 22 and which one has pick 23. I guess probably not this first round pick, maybe to some extent, but That's the other thing. It's like they could just come, like Goody could actually wake up and be like, yep, I'm going to give two first round picks. And some other team might say, I'm going to give two firsts and a third. Or it might be the Chargers who are one pick ahead of Green Bay that are also giving two firsts. And they're like, all right, we're going to go with the Chargers.
That's why I was like, hey, throw in Christian Watson, throw in Malik Willis. Like, yeah, get a dice roll on two of these young players who are talented, who, you know, if you're really worried more about like what they end up at the end of their career than what they are right now. I mean, it makes more sense to throw them in as kind of trade potential that the Browns would take on rather than Green Bay.
One of the things that, and maybe we can kind of end this on this conversation piece here, but one of the things that the Packers have done with the roster that they have built, with the depth that they have built, with the, you know, talent at all positions that they have built, to your point, and I've talked about it before in the past as well, they could not sign a single free agent, not draft a single player, not sign one of their own free agents back and still go out with the roster that they have right now, outside of maybe Alex Hale at kicker is the, probably the one that I have a little bit of concern with. Outside of that, basically go out there and compete with pretty much almost any team in the NFL without doing anything, right? Like, they have that style of roster. You have earned yourself the ability, which is what you're trying to do when you have all these cheap contracts and all these young players and the flexibility to do something. You have earned the right to go out and make this type of move. And it will be interesting to see if Goody kind of, again, does feel that same way of like, hey, we are a piece or two away, and we're going to go and we're going to find that piece or two, regardless of what it takes, because this is our, like, the next 3 years, 25, 26, 27, that's probably the window for this iteration of this team. And that's exactly when you're going to get the best still of Myles Garrett out of this current, you know, contract that you would get with him. So I get it. I understand it. I'm very interested to see just how aggressive Goody is going to be when he says he wants urgency this offseason.
Yeah, I think, because again, I'm taking kind of like a wide scope view of what does free agency look like? What do the cap casualties look like? Stuff like that, right? So I think cornerback, there's going to be some guys that are available, potentially available. Whether or not they actually hit the market is interesting, right? I brought up Asante Samuel Jr., Byron Murphy Jr. I think those guys are interesting. I don't know if they would add who's the guy from the Jets everyone wants? DJ Reed.
I don't know. A big breakdown on him. Yeah, it's too small. Too small.
Yeah, I don't know if he makes sense for this scheme, right? So, okay, we have two candidates at corner.
Carlton Davis.
Oh, I didn't even count him. I think he was just a little too old for what I
think. He's 29. Yeah, I mean, 29.
But maybe, yeah. And again, all that depends on whether or not Jair is willing to take a restructure that makes sense and stuff like that, right? Wide receiver, they need a speed guy. They also need a bigger guy because they can't play another small wide receiver with Jaden Reed on the field. Okay, trade for DK. Outside of trading for DK, I really don't know what kind of fits that mold. You probably have to go to the draft for that, right? None of that. Like, there's real potential that, like, we brought up this hypothetical, and it's like, you know, or would you rather, you know, use this cap money there instead of using it for Myles Garrett? If those guys don't become available, it's obvious that we should have traded for Myles Garrett, right? I mean, there's no promise that these free agency pickups are going to be solid. I can at least hang my hat on Myles Garrett. I can do that. I can say, look, this guy was a all-pro pass rusher for one of the worst teams in football the start of his career. I would like to buy the second half of it. I would like to do that.
What about the people that are on the message boards from time to time and on the, you know, in the social medias that say it's stupid because Green Bay's not one player away?
Okay. I don't like the Eagles are starting Jalen Hurts in a Super Bowl. The Lions got the one seed in the NFC with Jared Goff under center. You play the games, dude. You play the games and you try to load your team with talent. I mean, that's what those two teams did. They just attack stuff. You gotta attack. In this era, I guess here's the thing I will say. Post COVID, when it wasn't just the Saints doing the cap manufacturing stuff, when it wasn't just the Patriots end of Tom Brady cap manufacturing stuff, and everyone had to do it, and everyone learned, I guess, outside of the Saints and Browns, how to do it efficiently without, you know, overspending, and hurting yourself, you know, just flattening what your future looks like long term. I think it's going to be hard for teams to compete and not be aggressive, right? I think it might be easy to make it to the playoffs year in, year out, but I think it's going to be hard to get over that hump. And if they're serious that they want to get over that hump and they're not satisfied with the past two postseasons, they have to make moves like this. They at least have to be in the conversation. If Myles Garrett goes for...
Oh, don't say that. Don't say they're going to be in the conversation. don't say that, Justice. Because we're like, going to be in the conversation.
If Myles Garrett goes for two ones and a player, I'll be like, okay, I understand why they didn't do that. If Myles Garrett goes for like a first round pick swap and a second round pick, I'm going to be pretty damn mad, Andy. I'm going to be pretty pissed, dude, because I wanted that guy.
I feel like the majority of our conversation today has been you being the general manager that wants to go get Myles Garrett, and I'm the owner and being like, you're going to have to prove me a few more things on this. I have one
more.
I'll
show you cut-ups. He's been doing it since he was like 18, dude. He's been doing it a decade.
the Bucks could probably use him too in Wisconsin. He's got some basketball chops. Like, you might be able to use him a little at tight end. Like, get the most out of that guy. That's going to be like CC Sabathia, another Cleveland trade, by the way, that worked out well for the Wisconsin team. They're just going to, you know, like run him into the ground where until he can't play anymore. But the last thing is, of course, the one thing that I always have concern about with these type of deals, and I think it's a fair assessment, especially I think Garrett's going to be epic until he's like 35, 36, probably. He's just that kind of dude. But especially when you get to the age of 30, is you are one Achilles, one ACL away from going all in on this type of move. And he pops his Achilles on day five of training camp. And it's like, well, there went two first round picks, you know, a couple of our young players, plus you know, a bunch of salary cap, and now he's just never gonna be the same.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, Tom Brady, you could have made the same point about paying Tom Brady for like a decade.
I get it, you know, right? For sure.
Right. So
you scared money don't make money. You right. Can't be scared. Like, you could do that with every transaction. So I totally get it.
Also, I don't know how homoerotic we want to get into this, but like, I've seen that dude with his shirt off. I think he takes care of his body pretty well. Like, when all the former Packers tell the stories about Julius Peppers getting into practice in Green Bay, and they're like, yo, dude, I've never seen a human do something like that, especially one that size. And that was him at the tail end of his career. Right. I think Miles will probably age well. It would be my guess.
I would think so too. Did you look at Khalil Mack at all yet? Have you taken a look into him at all?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's interesting to me. I do wonder, like, at this point in his career, like, if he's just kind of like a designated pass rusher, and that's not a problem. I just don't know, like, how much money you're going to spend on that, right? And how much the Packers would be willing to spend and how much Khalil Mack would be willing to accept. I don't know if he's like floated out like potential retirement and stuff like that, but that's maybe something that, you know, I mean, he's made plenty of money, right?
Yeah.
That's not the issue.
Who is I know that Myles Garrett is topping your list right now, but who are some names that, as Green Bay does get into, let's say they don't make a Myles Garrett trade, as we just get into pure unadulterated free agency, who are some of the names that your fingers are crossed for that, like, maybe Green Bay will take a look at and or sign?
So I brought up the two corners already. I brought up Asante Samuel Jr. and Byron Murphy Jr.
Yep.
I think Trey Smith would be interesting. I think he can reshuffle the offensive line a little bit. I think he's actually kind of like maybe the most realistic one for them. I know Packers fans don't want to hear like, oh, we had all this cap space, we added a guard. Like, that doesn't really excite people. But I think you can reshuffle stuff. I kind of think Elton is going to play center anyway.
Would you rather have Trey Smith at, I don't know, a massive butt ton of money, what, like 20 mil, 22 mil per year, something in that range maybe, and put Elton at center? Or would you rather go get Drew Dolman from Atlanta for like 12, 13 mil a year? No, Dolman, you're out.
Dolman is kind of, he's just like fine to me. He kind of reminds me, he's like a working man's JC Tretter, I guess I would say. Like,
JC Tretter's a working man's JC Tretter.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like. He's more of like a pass protector than he is like a rundown guy and all the stuff like that. Okay. I'm not surprised that his PFF numbers and stuff are really good. I believe it as a pass protector. There's people in Atlanta who don't necessarily think that he's even the best center on the team for whatever that's worth. I know he started a lot of games and stuff, but like, the, you either like him or you don't, kind of guy.
Center's a weird position. Center's one of the more weird ones, yeah, where you get evaluations all over the board, where the Packers are trying to tell everyone that Josh Myers is playing the best football of his career. And like, you look at Cushenberry, and you know, there's even that I've heard, like, a variety of different things where Cushenberry went from Denver to Tennessee this offseason, and PFF's numbers hated him. But I heard people talk in Tennessee, I haven't had the chance to watch it, but people talk in Tennessee of like how once he went out, it was like this huge downgrade and everything. Like, center's just like, it's like an unbelievable Rorschach test. I feel like it's one of the more weird ones in the NFL.
Yeah, it has to do with a lot of chemistry and checks at the line of scrimmage, making sure you're getting in the right plays and stuff like that. I mean, that's a whole part of execution that, you know, big you time. Don't really get privy to unless you're part of the offensive unit. I will say, like, the other big swing. I'm assuming Max Crosby is not going to be available. Max Crosby, you could play for my football team too. DK Metcalf is one that I think is really interesting. He's just like the exact type of wide receiver that the Packers need. Fast guy, big guy. I don't know how he's going to deal with, you know, being out there in the cold and maybe not getting a billion targets and stuff like that. I know Seattle dropped back 1,000 times last year, but that's part of the reason why their offensive coordinator just got fired.
Yep.
And went back down to the college level. So I think DK is a super interesting one because there's not very many big, fast guys who are like true vertical threats in the NFL. And I think there's guys like Jamar Chase and stuff like that. We're not getting a Jamar Chase. A Jamar Chase is not ever becoming available to us, at least this young in his career, right? So I think like a DK Metcalf is kind of interesting where, you know, it's a tier down, but it's like, that's the kind of like the exact dude that we need. And I'd be totally fine taking a huge swing on a guy like that.
You're not a Darius Slayton guy from the Giants?
No, he does not do enough for me. I know people like bring up like Hollywood Brown too. And I'm like, dude, he is so small.
Yeah.
How are we going to have him and Jaden? Like Romeo can't be the big guy on the field, man. He really can't. Like we need a fast, big body. Like, that's desperately what this team needs, unless we want to move off of Dobbs, because we're not going to move off of Jaden Reed. So,
what is your expectation for how aggressive the Packers are going to be this offseason? Are we talking something similar? I've kind of said, I think, similar to last year, where they go and get two sizable free agents, something to that extent, like Jacobs on offense and McKinney on defense, obviously different positions. And then, you know, I think that's probably, you know, maybe again, a Andre Dillard-esque signing or something like that. But I think that's where I'm kind of, my head's at going into the offseason. But again, a lot of it's going to depend on who actually becomes available in two ways. One, which of the players that are currently set to become free agents get deals done ahead of time. And then two, which players that are not free agents right now start getting purged off of their teams in the near future and get released and more players actually become available.
Like a Joey Bosa getting released or something like that, yeah. I think kind of makes sense too, as like cap casualty wise. I expect two big swings. And that could be, you know, Trey Smith in free agency, and then we do a bunch of little things, and then, oh, we trade up into the top 10 in the draft, right? Or it could be, right? I mean, we trade for Myles Garrett, and then, I mean, that's almost like, two in and of
two swings
itself, because of how big it is. But yeah, I do think like two sizable hacks is what I'm expecting from this Packers team in terms of aggressiveness. Because again, if you're not being aggressive, you're kind of wasting assets, right?
Yeah.
Yep. You have 46 guys under contract coming back from your 53 in your IR. And those are just guys that you're not even going to, like, that's not even re-signings. That's not potentially Josh Myers coming back and starting at center. That's not Brandon McManus coming back. That's not any of that, right? So you're not going to you have money for free agency and seven draft picks, eight probably after the comp pick comes in. You don't need all that to make a 53-man roster. So what, you're using this so that at cutdowns you can have a lot of guys at cutdowns who are like maybe interesting to teams to pick off of waiver wires or stockier practice squad that, you know, every other game, you don't even bring up a guy from the practice squad, even though you're allowed to every single week. So for who, for what? Go be aggressive. Like you have the foundation of your team set now, right? You're like seven guys away. You have eight picks and a bunch of cap space. Figure out how to turn that into the best seven players that you could possibly bring onto this roster.
Yeah. We're in total lockstep. I think two big guys, I think that's exactly what they should be looking at, plus draft. And hopefully, man, they are due for a big time impact first round pick. They are overdue for a big time impact first round pick. So hopefully this is the year. But I'm with you. I don't have a disagreement with anything that you've said. I still think that the Garrett thing is on the extremely unlikely side. But man, if it somehow comes to fruition, I will be very much celebrating it and be right there, you know, being like freaking out that Myles Garrett's a Green Bay Packer. And it would sort of go with Charles Woodson and the Reggie White before that, of getting this big time elite Hall of Fame level player to get with your young quarterback. It's sort of written in the stars sometimes. So maybe this is the one. Maybe it's Mac, maybe it's Crosby, maybe it's probably Darius Slayton. Like, I don't know, but we'll wait and see.
But we kind of thought the same thing with McKinney last year.
True. Right? Very true.
McKinney's not going to be available, man. They're going to use the franchise tag on him because they're letting Saquon walk. Oh, they didn't use the franchise tag on either of them? He's hitting free agency? Man, the Packers really could use Xavier McKinney, but I doubt that they're going to sign him. And then they sign him. We're like, they did the thing that made the most sense for him. And I think right now, I mean, DK hasn't asked for a trade or anything like that. I just know, you know, Chargers fans are very excited that DK Metcalf seems to be warming up to several Los Angeles Chargers in the offseason. But I think those two guys make the most sense to me, just in terms of where the team is at right now. They want to take swings at this point just because of where they're at and kind of the roster construction cycle. Their younger players, like, unless Max Crosby becomes involved and you could throw his name as the third guy in there, I can't imagine being more excited than the potential of, you know, Myles Garrett or DK Metcalf on this team.
Cooper Kupp do anything for you?
Not on this team, man. They need speed. They really do. I mean, he's still a good player. I understand that he's not what he used to be, but he's definitely better than like late career Adam Thielen at this point. He's going to be good for someone. I'd be pretty shocked if he didn't have like at least, you know, 750 for someone next year. I just don't think that he's a guy that the Packers really need right now. They need a big guy who can run. Like, literally, like, if you could just like 3D print MVS again as a young guy on a rookie contract, like, I think they would run that back and just play him. Like,
what you're about basically MVS on a 1 year vetman?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, dude. Like, there's not, again, the reason Christian Watson is valuable is because those traits are rare, right? Yeah. Like, it's actually very hard to find those type of guys. As someone who's pored over this free agency list and been like, find me a young, tall, fast wide receiver. Ah, crap. There's not very many of them.
No, there's not. Yeah, I'm so intrigued. I think this is one of those weirdo off seasons in which this is not the off season where they've got five picks in the top 100. This is not like, it's not like they have like a generational, like 50 million or 60 million to go spend in salary cap or something like that. But they have the core of their team intact. They've obviously got the 23rd overall pick and still three top 100 picks. They've got a team that is in need of star talent, and they've got a good chunk of money to be able to go out and spend and utilize some of that. I'm so intrigued to see. And it's not the strongest draft class. It's not the strongest free agent class. And they kind of need stars. So how you sort of generate that and figure that out is not maybe the easiest pathway to sort of find, but how Goody can navigate it is so intriguing to me. And I'm really, really pumped about this offseason.
I need you to swing, Brian. Swing so hard. Swing for the stars. Swing for the moon.
And please make contact. Please make contact.
Please, for the love of God.
I need an Aaron Judge, just, you know, 700-foot rocket, you know.
Andy, can we trade the 2025 first? Can we walk Myles Garrett out when whoever goes on the clock
at 23? I think Goody could be persuasive enough to figure out a way to make it work. The first thing I will say is,
we're talking about a title window, man. For a guy who won defensive player of the year, like, you have to be able to move that pick.
What's their second pick? What, 57, mm-hmm. something like that?
It'll be the next day, which is the big thing. It'll be Friday instead of
Thursday. No, for sure. But my point is, so let's say it takes a first this year and a second next year to get it done, just hypothetically, right? I think you could probably figure out a way to get that second round pick into the first round if you really needed it to. Like, if they're like, you can make this pick, but you got to get pick 56, 57, whatever it is, into pick 32. I think Goody can find a way creatively to get that into pick 32 or 31 to still have a pick on day one. I would also be willing to argue that whether it is that when you're on the clock, that if like you can find a way to somehow navigate it, that the trade's not actually like leaked out until they get, because remember, like, this is AJ Brown, if I remember correctly, right?
They walked him out in the crowd in Arizona, right? That was so weird.
And AJ Brown, like, nobody had any, I don't think, real inkling that he was being traded that night until all of a sudden we got word that AJ Brown was traded and the Titans selected, I think, Treylon Burks or whatever. Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. So like, there has been opportunity or like situations in the past where you could maybe, so if like all of a sudden, if I don't think there's going to be anyone in Green Bay or in the crowd that if you're at pick 23 and instead of pick 23, it's announced that you trade for Myles Garrett or something like that. I don't think anyone's going to be upset by that. Or to your point, can you have Myles Garrett announce pick 23 to some extent? Or like, I don't know how you do it, but like, I think that there are probably ways one way or the other, or to your other point of like, if you need a second and a first, and ideally they want the first and second this year, you say, we can give you the second this year, the first next year. And you might have to add in like a third on top of that to make up the difference between this year and next year, whatever. But there's probably ways to do that as well.
Okay. Fifth day of the league year, he has an option bonus of $18.5 million.
Okay.
So that is the timeline we have to work on.
Got it.
So we're talking mid-March. That trade
is when the trade's going to have to take place. Okay.
Yep.
So
just so that the Browns don't add even more,
which is going to be an impossibility.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they can, and then I think it's going to be like Goody's going to have to like they're going to really push for Goody to find a way to get back into like pick 32 somehow or something akin to that.
I can live with that. I just don't want. I mean, speaking of a kick to the nuts and a trade that aggressive general managers make, AJ Brown is another one that I would have loved if the Packers could have done it. But you know,
we talked about that at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't in a cap situation where they really could have given that guy an extension and stuff like that. So, yeah, don't let it happen to you again. The Eagles, what, they've been two Super Bowls since that trade?
Yeah, the Titans have not. I don't know if you know that, but the Titans have not.
Treylon Burks hasn't really panned out. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'd like Myles Garrett. I want that on the record. Please bring me Myles Garrett.
The A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks deal might be the ultimate Family Guy mystery box meme of like, the mystery box could be, or like, why would we take the boat? The mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. Like, that's the ultimate of like, why would we want AJ Brown? We could get the mystery box. The mystery box might even be the next AJ Brown. And it was not.
I think there's another, wasn't it like Randy Moss and then like Sidney Rice? That was another one of them or something like that. Yes. Myles Garrett, please. All I'm going to be thinking about this for weeks, Andy, maybe a month.
Where are you going to be most upset when Myles Garrett ends up when he's not a Packer, but he's in
San Francisco or Detroit? Because I don't think Minnesota is going to do it.
I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota did it. I wouldn't be surprised.
They might, but they have so many things that they need to sort in-house.
If they get to McCarthy, right, if they decide it's McCarthy, and there's other things clearly that they need to sort out too, but like I think they're just going to let Byron Murphy walk. I don't think I would. I think he fit really well within that defense. Like, I think that was the best I've ever seen Byron Murphy, at least in the conversation for best I've seen Byron Murphy play. But I don't know. You're probably overpaying.
Their corners are so bad.
Yeah. And Cam Bynum's a low-key awesome player. Like, he doesn't get anywhere near the respect. I love Cam Bynum. I loved him coming out. I love him in Minnesota. And he's a free agent. I think Harrison Smith is potentially done in Minnesota. Like, yeah, to your point. And they do it. They just signed Van Ginkle. Traded for Dallas Turner and signed Greinert last year. So like,
percentage of snaps going into free agency.
All right. So yeah, they're not gonna do Garrett. All right. I rescind my statement.
It's Detroit. It's
San Fran. Philly. San Fran. Philly would be the ultimate. Another like they win the Super Bowl and then go get Myles Garrett. That would be very.
If they
Philly.
Do, I haven't even looked into Philly situation. I don't know if it's mathematically possible. If it's mathematically possible, how he's gonna try it. I know how he's gonna try it.
Philly's 18th with 24 million cap space. But again, they have quite a few things that I think they're going to have to take care of too. Milton Williams, a free agent, Josh Sweat's a free agent. I'm sure there's other ones as well that I'm not thinking of off the top of my head, but they're going to have some players that they definitely need to kind of figure out as well. It's going to be interesting. Can't wait. Justice. I love these so much. This was the ultimate nerd out Myles Garrett conversation that I think anyone could have possibly had. And I'm very thankful for it. Anything else you wanted to get to or anything you want to plug on the way out?
No, not really. Kind of knew the camp stuff. Camp was going to go to Jacksonville. They seemed like they really liked him. High energy guy. I'm not surprised he was plucked away. He got DC interviews last year before the Packers hired him as linebackers coach. Outside of that, not really too. Stanovich, pretty surprised. I was told on separate occasions he was the front runner for the Seahawks gig and the Texans gig at different points. he must be not good in interviews is my only takeaway from those situations.
He's an interesting guy in the press conferences. And I don't know if that, you know, if that's translatable at all to the interviews in person or whatever, but like,
right.
It's very dry. You can't get a read on him sometimes of like, he almost comes across as mad, even when you can very much tell that he's not. Like, it's a very interesting conversation. Like, and then he'll kind of like pause and think of it, and it almost gives like a aura of like, did you need to think that hard about that one? That seemed like a fairly easy question. And I'm sure he's just kind of thinking about what he's going to say, making sure he's not, you know, putting something out there that doesn't need to be out there or whatever. But like, he's an interesting, you know, press conference guy, and maybe that just doesn't translate. I don't know. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, those were weird. We got a couple of polls running on APC right now about all this Myles Garrett stuff. On would you accept the trade offer that I made Jared that I talked about earlier, that included like Malik Willis and stuff like that? How much would you be willing to give up for Myles Garrett? Do you even want the guy? Some people don't even want him. I can't believe it. Bring him to me.
This is, I don't know if you've seen this. I'm going to see if I can share it here really quick because it's absolutely fantastic. I think it's probably only funny to me, but anyway, it's the Adam Stenovich picture right here on the Texans, and yeah. he looks exactly like he looks like today, but like, yes. He was a practice squad guy for the Texans at that time. Oh, this is why I'm sharing this. Oh, it won't let me just bring it up here. I don't know, but anyway, it's the funniest thing in the world to me because he literally looks the exact same as he does today, but he's, I don't know. It's just really, really funny to me, but I digress. Go check out Acme Packing Company. It's the best. I appreciate you a ton, Justice. Go follow him at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Packaday Podcast. That's going to do it for Justice and I today. Go get Myles Garrett. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.